If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Welcome into the Flight by Yuengling, Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. Oof, that was a tough one there for the Blackhawks. It turned quick. I mean, they were up 2-1, then all of a sudden it was 3-2 and the game was over. Tough one there for the Hawks as they don't even pick up a point in a game where they probably played 55 really good minutes. And tough one here for the young Blackhawks here. And we'll bring in Charlie Romeliotis here. He's going to hang out with me a little bit here to recap this one. And Charlie, it seemed like they played a pretty good 50, 55 minutes, and then I guess that happens sometimes, but that was kind of disastrous there in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah, it almost happened so fast that you don't even know what happened. You're like, kind of like, I remember when we were in Boston for the 2 goals in 17 seconds where the Hawks go from needing to pull their goaltender to the opposition having to pull their goaltender. I mean, on the power play, we came out of that break when it was 2-1 Toronto. The Hawks go to the penalty kill with 3:39 left, and I thought we were in a situation where Toronto might pull Joseph Woll to give themselves a 6-on-4 opportunity. They didn't need it. They scored to make it 2-2. Austin Matthews with 3:09 left, and then right after the faceoff, the Toronto Maple Leafs win it, and 8 seconds later they score after it looked like a miscommunication between Spencer Knight and Louis Crevier. Spencer looked like he was trying to guide the puck to Louis Crevier, but Dakota Joshua really closed the gap hard, and I don't think Spencer really realized that he was that close behind him, or it kind of looked like Crevier stopped skating just a little bit, so there was some sort of miscommunication there. And it just happened at a really unfortunate time because that ends up being the game-winning goal. And the Hawks go from thinking that Toronto's going to pull their goaltender to now the Hawks have to pull their goaltender to try to get the equalizer. And they had a couple chances there late, or some sustained offensive zone time. Thought there were a couple opportunities where the Blackhawks could have shot the puck and they elected to pass. And then it was just time ended up running out and the Blackhawks unfortunately weren't able to get that tying goal in regulation. And so this one's going to hurt. I felt like the Blackhawks deserved not just 2 points to get, but to get at least a point, and for them to walk away with nothing, I think that's going to leave a sour taste in their mouth moving forward.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, just getting ready for the post game, you kind of think what you're going to talk about, and you're like, this is like a really big win for this team, potentially, if they're able to hold on. And coming off a shutout loss and losing their superstar, it looks like they are in a good place to get it, or a good situation to get a win on a 3-game road trip. And I guess that's just hockey, right? And as Jeff Blashill says, it's the everyday league. It's a tough league, and two puck bounces don't go your way. All of a sudden, you're looking up at a loss. So I don't even know what to say. It happened so fast.
100%. And it is confusing because I was getting ready to talk about the same thing that you were. Like, what a big win. The Blackhawks don't have Connor Bedard. I even felt like the game on Saturday against the Detroit Red Wings, like the Hawks losing that game 4-0, I kind of maybe expected, because the Connor Bedard injury happened the night prior. And it felt like the Hawks were kind of shell-shocked on Saturday. Like, because there wasn't really any clarity on the timeline of Connor Bedard's injury. So it was kind of like, is he going to be out for a couple games? Is he going to be out long term? And so emotionally, I felt like the Hawks were in a different place. It was also the second of a back-to-back on Saturday. And so the Hawks not scoring any goals against Detroit kind of felt expected, because it's like, all right, this is kind of going to be their life without Connor Bedard for the foreseeable future. But then the Hawks have an off day. Then they return to practice yesterday, which was another intense practice. And then they have a morning skate today. Feels like they were able to kind of recollect themselves, understand maybe how they're going to need to play without Connor Bedard in the lineup. And for them to jump out to a 2-0 lead in this first period, very clearly the better team in the first 20 minutes. And even in the second period, I know there were no goals scored, but Chicago controlled the play, or at least kept it 50-50, where they limited Toronto's chances. And so they went into the third period kind of exactly the situation that you would want to be in. Like, you're up 2-0, you don't need necessarily another goal, having said that, you also didn't want them to kind of sit back and play prevent defense for 20 minutes because that wouldn't have bode well for them. But without Connor Bedard in the lineup, we kind of talked about it in the pregame show where they're going to have to find ways to win tight checking defensive games, needing to lean on their goaltenders, because it's unlikely that the Hawks are going to be able to score 3+ goals per game without Connor Bedard in the lineup. And so I thought they were sitting pretty through one period of play, through two periods of play, up 2-0. I still didn't mind the third period effort for the Blackhawks, but Toronto just ends up chipping away at it, getting one with midway through the third period, and then the bang bang, two goals in an 8-second span. So, yeah, this one's a tough one to swallow, because I thought the ingredients were there on how to play without Connor Bedard, where it was tight checking, it was defensive. Spencer Knight was great in the first two periods, stopping the first 19 shots that he faced, and it all felt like the recipe was lining up for the Blackhawks to put together a solid win without Connor Bedard, and then for them to walk away with nothing, I think probably really hurts.
Yeah, they got on CHS on postgame, they got Dickinson already talking, and he kind of just looks like he doesn't know what he just saw right there. So definitely a tough one, Charlie. And then, I mean, they get back at it on Thursday, but they kind of got a day to sit on this one. What are you hoping? I mean, they kind of got to put this one away or use it as fuel to come back and ready to go on Thursday, because you don't want something like a hangover like this to linger a little bit. Then everything kind of starts to spin out of control.
Yeah, I think if you're the Blackhawks, you have to try to feed off of the positives of how the first 50 or so minutes went, and just kind of, well, even 55 minutes, I guess, and just kind of not ignore, but just try to forget don't let the last 5 minutes creep into your psyche like the Hawks feeling like they weren't the better team in this game, because I thought they were the better team in this hockey game. It's just two mental lapses, or just two lapses in a quick 8-second stretch there for Chicago. And I think the film is pretty easy to break down too. Like, even on the power play goal, the game tying goal, Ilya Mikheyev was about to skate the puck. Like, he had no idea that William Nylander was going to kind of fling his stick backhand, no look, and disrupt the play, and then the puck just goes straight to Austin Matthews, who goes top shelf, and then 8 seconds later, it's just a simple miscommunication from Knight and Louis Crevier. So it's really not one where you kind of break down the film and like, oh, here's where things went sideways. It was just one of those total miscommunication. And so I still think when they look at the film, they're going to be pleased with how they overall played in this game defensively. But yeah, just not getting at least a point, I think that's really going to sting. But I hope that it doesn't creep into their psyches going into the Montreal game, because I still felt like they did a lot of really good things in this game.
Yeah, they played really well. And I think a few times this year we've said, and Jeff Blashill has said, if they keep playing like that, they'll win a lot of hockey games. Now, it seems like they're getting the short end of the stick a few times this year, and hopefully that evens out throughout the year. But hopefully they could just pick themselves off and use it going forward. I kind of thought they would, at the end of that game there, maybe they'd get a stoppage and be able to get maybe like a timeout and draw up a set play, but like play just kept continuing. It seemed like they passed the puck around a few too many times there at the end before getting a shot off.
Yeah, I felt like there was an opportunity for the Blackhawks to shoot. I kept leaving the edge of my seat, because I'm like, oh here's an opportunity, and they elected to pass. And even I think the Toronto crowd started to get a little bit nervous on that extra attacker situation, and that's a situation too where you really miss Connor Bedard, right? Like, he's the guy, he's the extra attacker in that situation, where he's the guy that you kind of craft your 6-on-5 around, where he's trying to set up plays, either score himself or playmake, and to not have him on the ice, that's where the Hawks really kind of missed his presence as well. And it was really unfortunate too, because I thought the Hawks actually had an opportunity in the waning seconds of regulation. Nick Lardis got teed up a perfect one-timer, and his stick just snaps in half. It's like, well, how unfortunate is that, where Lardis maybe has the best one-timer on the team, and it was a perfect opportunity. It was pretty far out of the face-off circle, so it likely would have been more of a low to medium danger shot and not really a high danger one from, you know, kind of closer to inside the face-off dot. But it still would have been an opportunity for the Blackhawks to just get one more look, and his twig broke. And so that's really unfortunate for the Blackhawks. But yeah, they're moving forward, they're going to have to find a way to win either 2-1, 1-0, 3-2 kind of games, but they're going to have to really try to get that extra third goal, and so we'll see how they do that moving forward. But I didn't mind the Blackhawks' effort, but that's going to be a struggle for Chicago while Connor Bedard is out, is trying to get that third goal, because I feel like they can get two. Like, you get one at even strength, you get one on the power play, then you're trying to find a way to just get that third goal, but it's going to be difficult without Connor Bedard. Like, they're going to have to be some greasy goals. Like, the first one that the Blackhawks scored, Wyatt Kaiser, it was his third goal of the season. I thought Dominic Toninato was going to get credited with it, because I thought it originally went off of him and in. But just the fact that he was creating havoc in front of the net disrupted Joseph Woll from gloving it cleanly. And so that's an example of the Hawks scoring a greasy goal. And then the second one, obviously, was a shorthanded goal. And so that was kind of like a bonus for Chicago to score in that situation. And so, offensively, we know it's going to be a struggle to score without Connor Bedard. And so it's going to be curious to see who is going to be stepping up in those moments to help get the Blackhawks that extra goal that they need in games like this.
Yeah, one of those guys could be Frank Nazar. What did you think of his game? Again, you said he was noticeable during the game, and just unfortunately can't find the back of the net right now.
Yeah, he's snake bitten, man. He's gone 21 straight without a goal, which seems crazy. I mean, the last goal he scored was October 28th against the Ottawa Senators. Now, I know he's missed a couple of games in there with the injury, and I kind of want to like ignore some of those first like 6 to 8, maybe even 10 games of when he returned from that injury in Calgary, because he was most certainly laboring and not 100%. Like, he was trying to power through the injury because he wanted to deliver for his Blackhawks team and just want to be in the lineup. It was more of a pain tolerance thing. But really, I saw him start to look more like himself starting in the Vegas game, which was a couple weeks ago. And ever since then, I feel like he's been close. Now, he's gone 6 straight without a point. Obviously, you need that to change, and even though he has gone so long without a goal, he had been producing in the assist department, so the points kept coming, but now the assists have dried up, and it feels like he's still getting scoring chances, and they're just not going in. So I feel like once he gets one, the floodgates are going to start to open. But he's certainly a player that I think you can even ask him. He would be the first one to say, I need to be one of the guys to help step up offensively in that department with Connor Bedard sideline. Like, I think he accepts that responsibility and welcomes it as well, like as a challenge for him to kind of be one of those guys that they can lean on.
Yeah, hopefully he could find the back of the net, and hopefully it's next game, because they're searching for offense and they're able to get a few from Dickinson, and I mean, Kaiser's kind of on a little bit of a heater here in the last few weeks, which is nice to see. But hopefully they drafted him in the first round, and he's shown those flashes, and just needs to find the back of that. So hopefully he does that soon.
All right, go ahead. Yeah, I was gonna say last thing. Even the last time that Nazar was in Montreal, it was the second to last game last year, and it was that he scored a goal and assist, and also scored, I think it was the shootout winner, the one that nobody really saw in. And so he recently said, I think it was the 32 Thoughts podcast, he said this morning, but he was saying like that atmosphere in Montreal was like the best atmosphere that he's played in as a young player so far. And so maybe he'll have a great feeling going into the game on Thursday in Montreal, and maybe he can snap out of it in the building that I thought he played a really, really good game the last time he was there.
That's a good catch, and we're starting to see Frank has a good memory. When they talked to him on TNT after that Blues game, he brought up how they didn't like how they played in that New Year's Eve game, and now he remembers that, so hopefully he can keep those good vibes rolling there. Okay, going a little big picture, we didn't get to this in the pregame show. Laurent Brossoit did clear waivers. He goes to Rockford, and this gives them some options here to figure out what they want to do with their goaltending situation moving forward.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised that he ends up clearing waivers, because a team that would have, that if a team ended up claiming him, they would have had to absorb the entire $3.3 million cap hit, which there are a lot of contenders right now that are up against the salary cap where they need to move money out to bring someone in. Like, you saw the Edmonton Oilers situation where they send a second round pick to Pittsburgh in addition to getting Tristan Jarry, but they needed to move Stuart Skinner out because they needed to create some cap space. And so if you're a contender that's looking for a goaltender, maybe Laurent Brossoit catches your eye as someone that could be a 1B situation, but because his sample size is so small, he's only played 3 AHL games during his conditioning stint, and he hasn't played an NHL game in almost 2 years. I feel like now that he's cleared waivers, that allows for some, potentially it opens up the door for the Blackhawks to actually help facilitate a trade to a team that could be looking at Brossoit, where they now that he did clear waivers. If you're a team that wants to acquire Brossoit, it's basically a lateral move where he immediately goes to your AHL team versus if the Blackhawks ended up trading him or if he got claimed via waivers by an NHL team and then you wanted to send him down to the AHL, but then somebody else claims him, well, then you just gave up an asset for Brossoit only for him to get claimed by someone else. And so I wonder if this opens up some possibilities for the Blackhawks to advance trade discussions if they don't want Brossoit to take away some playing time from Drew Comesso and Stan Bereznoy down in Rockford. And so we'll see what happens there, but I wouldn't be surprised if we did see a trade at some point between now and, I don't know, I guess the trade deadline would be easier to say. There is that roster freeze that's kicking in a couple days for the holiday, and so I imagine teams are going to want to move quickly. But if you're a team that needs a goaltender and you're interested in Brossoit, you can now have him as your third goaltender, being the first guy in the AHL. Let him play some games, get into a rhythm, then you can call him up to the NHL and figure out a way to make the money work and bump out their current number two. So we'll see how that plays out, but that's my overall feeling on how that could shake out.
Yeah, definitely a lot more flexibility now that he cleared waivers. All right, Charlie. Good job filling in. Have a good night in Toronto. Get a steak, I guess, or whatever food you and John were talking about, and we'll see you back here on Thursday.
We're talking a lot. thanks again for filling in for me. I'll see you back home on Thursday.
Yep, my pleasure. Have a good one, Charlie.
All right, you too.
All right, that's Charlie Meliotis. Did a good job filling in on the color with John Weideman. Tough one for the Blackhawks, falling 3-2. A disastrous spot last 3 minutes there for the Hawks, giving up 2 goals, and they fall here. We got more to get to. We got some post-game sound rolling in. We'll hear the reaction from the locker room. This is the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show on 720 WGN.
Off the draw, Kaiser to the slot, shoots, he scores! This is actually Colton Dock. Colton Dock closing in. And it looks like Dominic Toninato is going to pick up his first Blackhawks goal. He was crowding the top of the crease and must have tipped that one home. Get a look at this on the replay. It was, I had it right the first time, Wyatt Kaiser. There was a mass of bodies in front of the net, and I thought this puck, it went off Kaiser's stick. I thought it hit Doc's stick and then went in, but it turns out it's Dominic Toninato who's going to get his first goal as a Blackhawk. First of the season, and it's 1-0 Hawks.
Welcome back to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. Yeah, that goal was confusing. It looked like it was Kaiser. It looked like it was Toninato, and it ends up being Kaiser. They thought they were going to change it to Toninato, and they didn't. And they kept it with Kaiser, and it looked like it was his goal. It hit off the glove of Joseph Wall. So, Hawks fall here 3-2 to the Maple Leafs. That was the first goal. Hawks lose a 2-0 lead in the third period. 3 third period goals for the Maple Leafs. They get one in about 10 minutes and they score 2 within 8 seconds around the 3-minute mark. And a tough one to follow there, for the Hawks. Wyatt Kaiser scored another goal. He's been, pretty hot lately, and he talked after the game. Let's hear what he had to say.
How a tough one was that one, just being up where you guys were?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a gut punch. I mean, it's the way it goes sometimes. I know we've been on kind of both sides of it, right, where sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. It's kind of a game of hockey, right? So just kind of put it in the past and move on and see where it takes us.
Is it kind of, when you play so well for 55 minutes, kind of hard to process in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, it happens quick, right? It's bang, bang. Kind of feel like you have control most of the game, and then quick turns. And I mean, like I said, it's a game of hockey, like life too, like it's a little crazy. So yeah, just trying to manage that and not get too high, too low, and continue to work on our process.
How did you feel out there tonight?
Feel good, yeah. felt like I was skating pretty well, moving pucks, keeping it simple, and kind of attacking offense a little bit more than usual. So yeah, I felt good.
Looked like Toronto was kind of like you guys had them kind of down and out for most of the game, and then they just showed kind of. I guess that's how dangerous some of their scores can be.
Absolutely. I mean, it's guys are too good. They're hanging around, waiting, and kind of take their chance, boom, it's in the back of the net. So I mean, it's, and there's a lot of teams that the guys are just too great. So see if that's a third goal or locking it down defense. Sometimes the bounces just go that way, but yeah, they're very dangerous.
What did you see on the power play or their goal though? When they scored the second one?
Yeah, I mean, we come off a face-off. I got Nylander kind of on my like right side, so I'm kind of just trying to protect it, coming to the wall. I feel like Mickey kind of coming underneath, so I just let it go. They get a stick on it, pops right out, like boom, and it's in the back of our net, right? So it happens pretty quick. That's what I saw.
On your goal, it seemed like you kind of almost were just, you saw an opening but kind of carried it even further in where you just were able to get deeper with it?
Yeah, I mean, we were trying to kind of run a one-timer right with Grizz and see that wing bounce out to him, so it was kind of like, okay, take my ice, and then it's kind of like a pile, so everything's, I don't know, there's a lot of traffic, so I'm just kind of waiting for something to open up, and as soon as I'm just kind of firing through. I don't think he saw it great the last second, so yeah.
That was Wyatt Kaiser after the game scoring a goal tonight, was a plus one with his goal, and he led the Hawks in ice time with 22:39. That brings us to tonight's ice times. Are sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. And Kaiser did lead the way, 22:39 ice time for him. He's been really solid, really coming out last year and continued strong play this year, and he's starting to score some goals here in the last few weeks, getting in on the rush a little bit, and he's just been really steady for the Hawks this season. Second was Matt Grizzlick at 22:17. Those two defensemen were the top for the Blackhawks tonight. And then when you go over to the forward group, Tyler Bertuzzi led the way for the forward group at 20:38 of ice time, followed by Frank Nazar 19:32. And then Andrei Burakovsky, 18:45. Interesting that second line now with Ilya Mikheyev, Jason Dickinson, and Teuvo Teravainen. They're all next, but 18 minutes, just over 18 minutes for Mikheyev. And Dickinson had 17:41, and then Teravainen 16:40. So we thought we were going to see a lot of them there trying to shut down the Maple Leafs, but didn't get on the ice too much then those last 3 minutes when the Hawks are all of a sudden in a tie game and then chasing the game. They really have to turn it on there and get the offensive firepower out there and try to come back. And unfortunately, they weren't able to do that. It happened really quick, and you could kind of hear it in Wyatt Kaiser's voice, just trying to figure out what happened there in the last 3 minutes, saying that this kind of happens in hockey and this happens in life, quite frankly. So hopefully the Hawks can pick themselves off and get ready for Thursday, a quick turnaround against the Canadiens. Jason Dickinson scored a shorthanded goal for the Blackhawks tonight. He also met with the media. Let's hear what the Blackhawks forward had to say after this one.
How would you assess that game?
Yeah, that one sucks. I felt like we played a really good road game for about 90% of it. You know, that penalty sucks. The timing of it really doesn't leave much to gain momentum back. We would obviously not like to give that goal up. And then the third one was just unfortunate. Maybe momentum was going their way and a guy got to a loose puck and puts it in the net. It really was just a matter of those three chances that felt like they burned us.
Is it hard to wrap your mind around it almost when you feel like he did play so well and had the lead for so much of the game?
Yeah. You know, I'm obviously speaking off the cuff without having seen a lot of the issues and just trying to run them through my head as I talk. So, we'll get to watch it and go over some things and talk about why maybe it happened. Maybe there's some neutral zone things that we could have done to slow them down a little bit more and avoid giving them any zone time at all. So you know, there's a lot to go over and still learn from and come back to play Thursday.
It felt like mostly, I mean, structurally, and I mean, you guys are limiting their chances. I guess through those, you know, first 17 minutes, or what were you guys doing so effectively?
I think we were skating really well, and we were all connected on the forecheck, and whether that was forechecking in the neutral zone or in the offensive zone, we were getting on pucks and creating turnovers and opportunities to track back up the ice and get offense and just play hard, really. It was not a beautiful game by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a good road game.
What did you think of the goal that got disallowed on the interference?
Yeah, I mean, the puck was kind of sitting there right between his legs, so I took a shot at it, and there was a 50-50 chance that the league would overturn it. I know they want to get the call right, so I haven't seen it, but I'm going to side with them that I assume it must have been the right call.
It looked like the puck was loose. Did you see the puck?
I thought I did, and it dropped between his legs, but then once he closed up, maybe it was no longer there. It probably did get his pad too much in order for them to overturn it. You know, they like to side with the call on the ice more often than not. There has to be definitive evidence that they're going to overturn it.
Obviously, it was an important call because you guys would have went on the power play and you would have had the goal.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Those moments happen all the time. It was early enough in the game that, you know, if we get to the power play and we score, or if we don't, it is kind of whatever it is. We still ended up 2-0 after the first, and we could have taken control at many other times. I think we had another power play shortly after that could have easily been a goal that took things over.
It's always good hearing from Jason Dickinson how he really thinks about the game and knows a lot about the game, and I liked how Frankie was there saying that ending was not very good for the Hawks, and just being real honest about it. I'd like to see that from one of the Blackhawks leaders, and he's been one of the leaders really ever since he got here. So hopefully him and a couple of the other vets can help these young guys just kind of flush this one and use it as fuel for the fire to go into Montreal ready to go, and not let this linger, because you don't want a loss like this that can potentially hang around in the back of your head for a couple games, and all of a sudden you're on a big losing skid instead of just nipping it in the bud right here. So hopefully the Hawks can do that, and as they travel to Montreal tonight and have a day tomorrow in Montreal, I think they're practicing tomorrow, and then get geared up for Montreal on Thursday. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. We'll hear from Jeff Blashill after this game. That's all coming up. You're listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN. Welcome back to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Romeliotis. Charlie on the call with John Weideman of a 3-2 loss to the Maple Leafs in Toronto. Tough loss for the Blackhawks. 2 goals in 8 seconds with about 3 minutes left in the game. And just like that, the Hawks fall and get a loss here to start their 3-game road trip going through Canada here, some Eastern Conference teams that they are facing. Tough one for the Hawks, and head coach Jeff Blashill, let's hear what he had to say after this one.
How do you assess that game?
Well, obviously it's a gut punch at the end. You know, like we played a really good game and probably deserved the win for 56 minutes, I guess. And you know, credit to them. They obviously made a couple. You know, the goal by Matthews on the power play. It's a miscue by us, but Nylander makes an unreal play, and Matthews makes an unreal play, and then. You know, it was an unfortunate kind of bounce there for the winning goal. So, again, though, like the reality is if we play like that on a consistent basis, we're going to win lots of games. So you have to understand process, and you got to go back at it. And we're going to have to do a good job of having a short-term memory.
What do you like outside of that?
What did I like with our game?
Yeah.
Well, I thought we did a really good job of limiting chances. I thought we did a good job of forechecking. I thought we did a good job in the O-zone. I think, you know, the way we're you know, we've talked about how we're going to have to win in Connor's absence, and it's going to be shooting. It's going to be dirty chances. And, you know, we scored a goal with net presence tonight. We scored a shorthanded goal. We checked well. Our intensity was great. I thought we did a lot of good things.
Is it too simplistic to say this is like a learning lesson? Are you hoping that you guys are kind of past that?
Well, I think you're continually learning. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think they're all learning lessons, to be honest with you. The way we look at it is we'll review the game, we'll learn from it, and then we'll move on. And that's what we're gonna. You know, sometimes they're easy to do, and sometimes they're hard. This one's obviously a hard one, but there's not one thing we can do to change that. We gotta. All we can do is learn from this game and then move forward against Montreal, and that's what we'll do.
When you talk about learning, I mean, it sounds like it felt like some luck there too. I mean, how preventable was it? Or when you look at the learning process, like how much does that actually?
There's some randomness in hockey. I think the learning perspective will be, you know, sometimes learning is emphasizing what you did well and making sure you learn through good examples. examples of what you're trying to do. There was probably a couple of things that we can certainly correct, so we'll work on those. Won't have anything to do necessarily with just a goal. I mean, you know, there's probably something we could have done tiny bit different on the PK faceoff to maybe give Kais a little bit more time. So we'll get to that. That's what we do all the time. We're trying to help our guys put them in the best position to be successful. You know, the end result's the end result, and it's super disappointing because we played good enough to win, but we got to find a way to finish it, obviously. But again, if we do that again on Thursday, I think we put ourselves in good position to win. Now we got to find a way to do it.
On the power play and then also on the 6-on-5 late, it looked like it's kind of needing someone to take over the way Connor would have and run it. Do you need someone to step up in that kind of role?
Yeah, I mean, the 6-on-5 is a little bit chaotic because we couldn't get a whistle. So it ended up being 2K. We couldn't get it deep, then we couldn't get a whistle. So then it became super chaotic. So it's hard to really pin that on anybody. The power play, you know, obviously it's just something. It's a little bit of a work in progress of trying to figure out, you know, what the best pieces are with Connor out of it. So we'll keep working through that. But we only had one. Like, you know, I thought, you know, you want to have some more to build some chemistry. I mean, if they only had one, they wouldn't have scored that goal, you know. But they got an extra couple. So that's just the reality of the hockey game, and we got to find a way to earn more penalties.
I think Kaiser led you guys in ice time, mm-hmm. and he's, you know, 3 goals in the last 7 games. Are you seeing a progression in his game?
Yeah, you know, and for me, certainly the goals are great. We want our D to score and be active and be involved in the offense. But I also think he's doing a good job of making decisions and limiting some of the big mistakes. You know, the biggest thing on him that him and I have talked about is eliminate those big errors. And if he does that, he's a really good player. And I think he's done that on a more consistent basis.
There's head coach Jeff Blashill, says a gut punch, but as he said before, in some tough losses, they play a lot of games like this, they'll win some in the future. It's time for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. On Saturday, prospect forward 2024 third-round pick Jack Prittum recorded his first OHL hat trick for the Kitchener Rangers. He has 17 goals and 17 assists in 30 games so far, so a good start for Prittum. We'll wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show next on 720 WGN. Wrapping up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. Blackhawks fall to the Maple Leafs 3-2. And let's get to our next game. Our next game preview is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. They're going to be in Montreal on Thursday night. The Canadiens play tonight hosting the Flyers. They lost 4-1. This year so far, 8-8-1 at home. The Blackhawks looking for a little revenge from their home opener. They had a 2-2 hockey game late into that third period. Sam Renzel scored, and Connor Bedard scored as well in that second period. It was a crazy second period, 4 goals, 2 each to each team. And then the game looked like it was heading to overtime before Caden Gooley at 19:45 got a goal and sent the Hawks, kind of stunned them there, kind of like this game. A 3-2 loss, getting stunned late in the game, but this one was with 15 seconds left in the game. They lost, and the Hawks fell to 0-2-1, and then really went on a really good stretch from the Hawks. So hopefully they can get it rolling. Our coverage starts at 5:30 on Thursday with Charlie Romeliotis' pregame. Then John Weideman and Steve Conrad will have the call after that, just after 6. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Sitco. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Sitco. Download the app to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Big thanks to our production crew of Alan Poppy flying solo tonight, and then Jimmy Lynch hanging out with us tonight. Good to meet you, Jimmy. Welcome to the team. And our engineer, Krista Flores, did a great job keeping us on track and on the air. And then John Weideman and Charlie Romeliotis had the call that saw the Maple Leafs come back and beat the Blackhawks 3-2. I'm Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie. Charlie, we'll talk to you on Thursday.